Chapter 1. Annie Mack. Blood oozed between Annie Mack's fingers from the gash in her cheek. She huddled by the refrigerator, shivering, praying Roy's knuckles wouldn't rip up more of her flesh. She couldn't focus, but she could hear. Oh, yes, she could hear while pain sliced like knives through nerves she hadn't known existed. Scraping her raw inside and out, blades sharpening themselves on her flesh. Roy's rants of, "Where is she? Where'd you hide my girl?" echoed in his wake as he demolished the living room, the bedrooms, probably the bathrooms. But other words played over and over in her head. "Please help my babies, please." Her prayers hit the ceiling and flattened, spreading out so they covered her but didn't fly high enough to reach heaven. "Auntie Sim, I need. She'd always needed, hadn't she? From the beginning, as far back as she could remember. A clumping sounded across the hardwood floor, becoming a scuff and shuffle on the kitchen linoleum when Roy came for her again. His curses filled the room, screams of anger louder than any she'd heard from him before. She shuffled backwards, raising her arms to ward off another blow, but his steel-toed boot kicked her legs clean out from under her. Her buttocks took the fall. Before she could curl onto her side, his fist smashed into her temple, slamming her against the wall. She bounced back to the floor, this time. The pain brought on the shakes and the surety that she'd never escape. Never. Red morphed to gray shadows in her mind. She tried to slow the panicky rise and fall of her chest. In and out. Slowly. In and out. Surely he'd broken a rib. And more. "What have you done with my girl?" He grabbed her shoulders, hefted her to spitting level. "Where'd that fool boy take her?" She shut her eyes against the sight of him and against the crippling pain. He lashed once more with his boot into her shin and threw her against the wall. Her leg crumpled. This time the scream was hers. Chapter 2. Hannah. The half-light of pre-dawn lit Hannah's way from the bathroom, back to her big, comfortable bed and her sleeping husband. But before she could pull up the sheet, a cold nose nudged her thigh, and there was Harvey, tongue lolling out the side of his red snout, waiting. She caressed one floppy ear and pointed to his pillow. But he was having none of it. She was up. He was up. And, honey, that meant outside, now. She slipped on jogging shorts and a t-shirt, hurrying so the Irish setter wouldn't forget he was house-trained. Ahead of her, he dove down the stairs, his nails clicking on the floor. "Leash!" she called. The word brought him to a momentary halt, and she fumbled to attach the clip to his collar before he started dancing at her feet. And then they were off. The sun began its slow ascent over Taylor Creek, showing off tendrils of mauve and pink and yellow. The dog trotted at her side, all a quiver, with tail swishing as the salt tang and the scent of pluff mud hit. The marsh was home to birds and critters that livened a setter's world. Wasn't she fortunate to have only a dog binding her to ritual? A dog and a husband who adored her, and who gave her freedom to be and do what she wanted? She had time to work on her pottery, a shop in which to sell her craft, and, glory be, she had a best friend coming home. Life couldn't get any better. A heron screeched and Harvey's head snapped toward it. He tried to bolt toward the water. "Heel," she said, pulling him down a side street. But as soon as the heron's cry subsided, a man's angry yell took its place. Ahead, a truck rattled to a start and tires squealed around a corner. Her heart did a little tup-tap at the shouts and at that revved truck. Those poor folk, living with such fury. As she drew closer to the house where the truck had been, Harvey lunged toward a big vine-covered bush. "No, you don't. We're not going into anyone's yard."